Psalm 46. I think in light of all the things that are going around and going on, that this is a very timely psalm. We've heard it before. And we're going to look at all the psalm tonight. And we're going to see what God's word says to us. It says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Tonight I want to briefly speak on how to earthquake-proof your life. How to earthquake-proof your life. We had a lot of prayer requests tonight. A lot of things that are disturbing and distressing. There's a lot of things going on in the world. And it can cause people to have despair. But see, God is on our side. Whom shall we fear? And we see the psalmist here talking about things. And it's a psalm for times when the world is shaking. There are many times of shaking in our lives. You know, we get busted down to just the root of who we are. And they take us all the way down to that. You know, sometimes there's some recent experience that you may have experienced that caused this. I'm sure COVID has shaken a lot of our lives. And we've been touched by that severely here. And then, but you know something, this psalm brings peace to the troubled soul. The setting of this psalm, most Bible scholars say that this is a psalm that David wrote after he had victory over the enemies of Israel. Israel was being basically surrounded on all sides by all sorts of enemies. And then David rose to power and he followed God. And God defeated those enemies. You know, it is ideal for those who are the target of enemies. So we need to understand tonight that this psalm has several things to offer us in these troubling times. First of all, in verse 1, we see the promise of God's presence. God appears at the beginning of this psalm. The reality of it is without God, there is no beginning. There is no beginning of relationship. There is no beginning of creation. Genesis 1:1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Folks, if it wasn't a beginning, we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be here. And this is the God that loves us. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 9, it says, and this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. See, it says that God is our refuge and our strength. God is at the beginning of this psalm. You know, He's not some impersonal supreme being. When God appeared to Moses the first time, He said, take off your shoes, you're on holy ground. But later on, as the nation of Israel is going through the wilderness and getting closer and closer to the promised land, Moses asked a personal question. He says, show me your glory. Let me see you. Let me see you. And God said, you can't see me, but you'll see the back part of me. And in Exodus chapter 33, verse 19, and it says, and He said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. I want you to think about that. This is the God that we're talking about here. And God wants all of his goodness to pass before us. He says, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. You know, we all live under God's mercy. So if it wasn't for the mercy of the Lord, we'd all be consumed. But grace is a different thing. Grace is something that we have to find in God. Remember Noah? Remember in Genesis chapter 6, when the rest of the world is just thumbing their nose at God and doing their own thing and being desperately wicked, there's a short verse in there that says, but Noah found grace in the sight of God. And that basically allowed him not to go through the judgment that God was going to put on the world. See, God is our refuge and our strength. He's a very present help in time of trouble. So we see that God appears at the beginning of this psalm. Secondly, we need to understand that the secret of peace is a personal relationship with God. Here in this psalm, we see that God is our refuge. It's a personal thing. It's a group thing for us. But in Psalm 23, it says that the Lord is my shepherd. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14, it says that for he is our peace. Oh, folks, God wants a personal relationship with each one of us. He wants a collective relationship with his bride, the church. And we shouldn't thwart that. We need to look at him. We need to find his grace. We need to find his goodness. We need to have him at the beginning. In Psalm 62, verses 7 and 8, it says, and God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Oh, folks, we need to claim that tonight. You can't claim that unless you know him as your Savior. Amen. You've got to have a beginning of your spiritual walk with God. And that's done by God. Trust in him at how many times? All times. The big stuff and the little stuff. The good stuff and the bad stuff. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Oh, folks, God appears at the beginning of the psalm because without him there is no beginning. What the secret of peace is a personal relationship with God. And then we see here, who is God? Well, first of all, he's our refuge. See, we can hide in God when the storms come. In Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10, it says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. See, if we're not righteous, we don't even think about that. If we're not righteous, we don't even think about God. We don't care. We just do our own thing and we find out that we're going to lose. And so he's our refuge. We hide in God when storms come. We are safe with him when our world is shaking. In Psalm chapter 4, verse 8, it says, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. For thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. The psalmist here says, you're the only way that I can have peace. You're the only way that I can rest. You're the only way that I can be in safety. I need to dwell in you. So we see here that God's presence, he is our refuge. Later on here in verse 1, he says he's also our strength. God gives strength to those who are weak. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10, Paul is going to, he's pouring his heart out. He's doing everything he can for God, and he wants this infirmity in the flesh, this thorn in the flesh, to be taken from him. And he prays to God, and he says, take this away. There's nothing wrong with that. And he prays again to take it away. Doesn't happen. He prays again. Doesn't happen. But then he gets an answer. He says, my grace is sufficient for you. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10, Paul basically concludes this with this statement. He says, therefore, I take pleasure in those things that are bothering me. I take pleasure in those aches and pains. I take pleasure in those troubles. It says, in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. God is our refuge and our what? Strength. See, waiting on the Lord renews our strength. We were talking, Betty and I was talking, and she said, here's my favorite verse. And she started quoting to it. I said, we're going to say it tonight. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31 says this. It says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. There's a condition here, folks. You need to wait on God.
Amen.
You know, so many times we try to outthink God. So many times we try to get ahead of God. What we need to do is we need to wait on the Lord. Shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. See, God's presence, He's the beginning. He's our refuge. He's our strength. He brings peace. And He's a very present help in trouble. See, our Lord is always with us. He's present. He says in Hebrews chapter 13, He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. In Psalm 139, verses 7 through 10, the psalmist says, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell or the grave, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. We need to understand that God is omnipresent. And He's always there. Call on Him while He's near. Seek Him when He can be found. He's a very present help in trouble, and He is greater than any trouble we face. He's greater than any trouble we face. So here in verse 1, we see God's presence. In verses 2 through 7, we see God's peace. Verse 2 starts out this, therefore, we will not fear. See, that's a choice. That's a choice. We have a choice to follow God or not follow God. We have a choice to love God or not love God. We have a choice to fear or not to fear. And the Bible says in 1 John, it says that fear hath torment, but perfect love, what? Casteth out all fear. Oh, folks, we need to love God more every day. We need to love God even more when the troubles happen. In Isaiah chapter 41, verse 13, it says, for I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. What a promise to a distressed nation. What a promise to a distressed king. What a promise to a world that was kind of falling apart around the southern kingdom as we studied Isaiah. But God says this. He says, fear not, I will help thee. But sometimes we're too proud to refuse His help. Oh, folks, we need to humble ourselves. Verses 2 and 3, we see the extent of the psalmist's fearlessness. He says, I'm going to have no fear, though that the earth be removed. You're going to have the greatest tremor of an earthquake ever. And the psalmist is saying, I will have no fear. I will have no fear, even if the mountains fall into the sea. See, he's trying to describe the magnitude of God's help and the ability that the size of things that we shouldn't have to fear. Things that are much bigger than us, but they're not too big for God. He says, no fear though the earth be removed. No fear though the mountains fall in the sea. No fear though waves rage on the sea. Remember the disciples in the boat? They were just on a lake. And the waves were up and they said, "Hey, we perish!" And God said, "Peace be still." And they said, "We're all going to die." And God said, "No, you're not. No, you're not. Oh, no fear when waves rage on the sea. No fear through earthquake, though earthquakes shake the mountains." That's verses 2 and 3, folks. This is what we should understand if God is our refuge and our strength and a present help in trouble. We don't have to fear these things. We don't have to fear these things. He says, we need to understand that our faith will emerge and soar. See, we need to understand that peace multiplies here as we look towards heaven. In verses 4 and 6, it says, there's a river. Okay? There's a river and the streams thereof. And it says that this river of life here is heaven. You can remember in the Genesis account of creation, there was a river and it broke into four parts. And it watered the whole earth. In Ezekiel's temple, he says there's a river that's flowing out of the east side of the temple. In John's revelation, at the end of the Bible, he says he sees the throne of God. He sees that there's a crystal river of water flowing out of there. And it brings life. In Psalm 1, we're planted by the rivers of what? Water. Blessed is he that does that thing, that's planted by the rivers of water. See, the river of life is heaven. And it says that the city of God is there. See, as we go on, Revelation confirms this, but there are no enemies there. There are no enemies in this time. Jesus is already preparing places there. You know, the disciples were very scared when he talked about his death, because they thought it was over. But then he says this in John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. He says, "Let not your heart be what? Troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." See, the river of life is heaven, and God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. And it said, "The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted." Oh, folks, what does that give us? That gives us hope. Not only do we have the help right now, we have the hope of God here in verses 4 through 7. See, in verse 7, we see the Lord of hosts is with us. Jerusalem was surrounded by the Assyrian army. King Hezekiah had these letters, and then there was also screaming at the wall and trying to discourage the people and say, "Hey, why don't you just surrender?" And in 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verse 8, it says, "With him is an arm of flesh." Talk about Sennacherib. It says, "But with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles." And the people rested themselves upon the word of Hezekiah, king of Judah. Folks, here's a principle here. If one of us is fearful, then that fear can go to everybody else. We're all leaders. We're all supposed to be evangelists. We're all supposed to be witnesses. We can't be fearful. Because if one runs, we all run. If one stands fast, we can all stand fast. If one is free, we'll all be free. And if we stay free, we're all free. Oh, folks, need to understand this, that Hezekiah was saying, "Look, and we're going to trust in God. He's going to fight our battles." And they believed him. We need to have a testimony that will encourage others not to be fearful. We need to understand that we're living in God's presence. We need to understand that we have God's peace. And in verses 8 through 11, we see God's promises. See, God is at work when a world is shaking in verse 8. It says here, he says, "Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth." In Romans chapter 8, verse 28, it says, "We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose." You know, it could be like Job. Took away all of his stuff, but he said, "I wouldn't curse him." Okay? He says, "Though he slay me, I'll still love him." Took away his health, he said, "I still have the Lord." Amen. And folks, that's an encouragement. James uses him as an encouragement in James chapter 5. Of what should we understand for patience? So, God is at work when our world is shaking. God makes war cease in verse 9. See, he makes all the weapons worthless. And he says, "He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear asunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. He maketh wars to cease until the end of the earth." That's something to look forward to. Last week in Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17, we saw that no weapon that's formed against thee shall what? Prosper. "And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and the righteousness of me, saith the Lord." See, the destroyers he destroys, according to Charles Spurgeon. Oh, folks, we need to understand that God's at work when our world is shaking. God makes war cease. Remember, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh what? Patience. But let what? Patience have her perfect work. We have to endure these things. He makes worthless. Is your faith in the one that calmed the sea? See, we can be still and leave the future with God. In verse 10 it says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth." See, he saved us through faith in Christ. That can never be taken away. John chapter 10, Christ says, he says, "No one can pluck them out of my hand." Romans 8, the end of that chapter says, "Nothing can separate you from the love of God." He saved us through faith in Christ. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Do you have that beginning? Do you have that relationship with Christ? Because none of this stuff works unless you know him. And he will keep us by faith in Christ. Last verse is Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. It says, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." See, God's got this. We need to understand that God has got this. You know, the psalm begins and ends with God. The last verse says, "The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge." God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in time of trouble. What a wonderful comfort for times of trouble. See, we need to begin and end in God's presence. God's sufficient when your world's shaking. We can trust him to bring us safely through. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time. Lord, I just ask you this time of invitation. Father, I know that there's people out there that's got some issues and got troubles. And Lord, I just ask that you just help us, Lord, just to cast these on you. Father, we believe in your presence. We believe in your peace. We believe in your promises. And Lord, I just ask, just help us through these times. Father, I pray that you be with those that may not know you, Lord, as Savior. Lord, we listed off a whole list of names, people who did not claim you as Savior. Lord, I pray tonight there's someone here that does not know you as Savior, that they would just come to a saving knowledge of you. But just trusting in you and what you did on the cross. Help us tonight, Lord. Change us. Help us to be different. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.